time, right about that time, another episode of PZ85 Sports on your Podzilla 1985 network. Cody Sandusky here with you. Glad to have you alongside for the ride. It is September 3rd, 2016, or at least it could be when you're listening to this. It will be the day it's posted. We're recording on September 2nd, 2016, so Friday night lights yet again. But glad to have you alongside for the Saturday, the Labor Day weekend edition. It's going to be a fun one, a lot of great sports action going on. Of course, baseball 1 month away from the playoffs for Major League Baseball. Hockey is a couple weeks until the World Cup of Hockey happens, which is basically just another way to make money. But I'm excited because that means there's hockey, competitive international hockey on the ice. And then beyond that, we're only about a month or so away from preseason starting in the NHL. College football started officially fully this week, or it will be on this day, Saturday. Started a little bit earlier in the week. Of course, there was Cal playing with Hawaii in Australia last week. For me, as a Tennessee Volunteers fan, I hate my Volunteers right now, but we won. We beat Appalachian State. Hooray. Yeah, that's a good, credible victory against the Sun Belt Conference. And yes, I'm going to leave those long pauses in there because it shows how much sadness and heartbreak and apathy toward my team's poor performance is just out there and just how I feel about it. And it doesn't help that tonight, Friday night, on historic Broadway in downtown Cape Girardeau, it's been kind of tough, and gosh, I wish these topics were better. So to borrow from David Letterman and Hunter Hendricks is where I've heard it from a lot more recently. We've got a show for you tonight, guys, and gosh, I wish it were better. Because, see, here's the thing about sports sometimes. You keep updated, or we like to keep people updated on the news that happens as it happens. And because of that, sometimes we revisit old topics, or at least topics that have been breaking back and forth. One of them we will discuss tonight, maybe in part, is one that we did not discuss last week on the show because the news, the controversy, the interview about the entire Colin Kaepernick situation had yet to come to light. I learned about it Saturday morning during the show I host, which is the Saturday Morning Express, 9 to 10 a.m. on CMO ESPN 92.9 FM, 1220 and 1470 a.m., CMOESPN.com, and the CMO ESPN radio app. Okay, that was when I first heard the statements, or at least saw on Twitter, the statement that Colin Kaepernick made concerning his reasoning for sitting down during the national anthem being played in their preseason game last week, they being the 49ers. Because of that, I obviously did not discuss it on last week's podcast, and in the week since the podcast was recorded and subsequently released, a lot of news has broken, a lot of things have changed, a lot of new information, a lot of opinions, and a lot of hatred. And some discussion, including on RPZ85 Network, has occurred concerning the topic. So we will broach it. We will discuss what has happened today, which involves some charitable contributions from Colin Kaepernick to different organizations. We will discuss these things as we go along. Because of that, we must also discuss what happened for the rest of the week and for some of these pieces that have happened in the past. In case you missed it in the news today, Brock Turner, the Stanford swimmer we talked about a few months ago, who got 6 months for raping someone. Yeah, that guy. He was released yesterday after only 3 months in jail. Half of his already pitiful sentence. We'll get into that a little bit. Not that it's entirely unexpected, but we'll get into that. As well as Art Briles, our friend, the former Baylor football coach. You know, the university is still embroiled in sexual assault and sexual misconduct lawsuits and controversy. The same school that, you know, has 9 assistants from that football team's former regime under Art Briles. They're still coaching. So, yeah, that's not necessarily a dedication to change, maybe. We don't know yet. As well as Art Briles wanting to get back into coaching college football. And he's made steps to do that. So we're going to talk about that. Man, I wish you could see my hand motions and the animation I've got going on in the studio tonight. I am feeling jazzed. I'm feeling energetic for all the wrong reasons. So we're going to get into all of this tonight. And I'm going to start with the review information. The Brock Turner, which I don't really have new information, but I do want to address it just one more time. As well as the Art Briles situation. So without further ado, let's just go. We'll start off with the Brock Turner situation. Now, at last check with Mr. Turner, we were ranting and raving across the entire PC85 network about the fact that this young man who sexually assaulted and attempted to rape a woman passed out by a dumpster at a Stanford frat party last January of 2015 was sentenced by Judge Aaron Persky to 6 months jail time. Yeah, I get that's very ignorant. We went all the way down that road. Bad call, poor judgment from the judge, poor anything from anybody involving his defense attorneys trying to plea a much lighter case. Bad on his father for calling it just 20 minutes of action that shouldn't ruin his life. We've been down this road. So let's recap where we are now. First of all, let's go to the judge, because we called for his removal at some point across the PZ85 network. Judge Aaron Persky has voluntarily, I'll put quotes around that, but voluntarily transferred to civil court cases only after a Stanford professor started a campaign to recall him. So Aaron Persky is now no longer ruling over criminal cases, only civil cases, which makes sense, I suppose. I still don't think he's necessarily right or fit to be a judge after his poor judgment in this situation, but at least he has no influence over how someone is properly adjudicated in criminal situations or in rape cases. That's an improvement. Now for Mr. Turner, Brock Turner has spent his 3 months in jail. He will be going back home to the suburbs of Dayton, Ohio. And then here's some new information. This is coming from the Daily Beast, reputable website, however that may go. He is required to register as a sex offender for life. He will have to update his registration in Ohio every 90 days, according to the Ohio Attorney General's office. And while on probation, he will be required to undergo sex offender treatment. So he is required to own up in some form or fashion to his mistakes, whether or not he is willing to exhibit guilt or demonstrate any form of rational acceptance of what he did wrong. Now, again, we can argue it until we're blue in the face. Should he have been in jail longer? Absolutely. That is without question at this point, and it should not be in question. He is going to be registered as a sex offender, which should be the case. He has to declare and re-register every 90 days with the Ohio Attorney General's office, which is also good. That should be required. Now, Stanford, in response to this, in small part, has outlawed hard liquor on any college on-campus party. Hear that? Someone knocking at the door to tell you that was the wrong decision. Or as I appreciated, Hunter Hendricks from Real Rock 99.3 in our lovely PZ85 chat showed the infamous picture of a guy trying to like hold up the sun between his fingers, kind of like the viewpoint horizon pictures, but being like 6 feet to the right. Yeah, that's the thing. They're completely off base, trying to solve a problem that is much deeper, much more involved, and much larger than just drinking of hard liquor on college campuses. It goes well beyond that, but that's what Stanford has done, so that's what Stanford will run with, and what we as the public or those who attend Stanford, whomever may be involved, that's what they have to accept as the calling of what Stanford's going to do. That's just how they're going to handle the situation, and that's where it sits. But I did want to rewind, kind of show the details around what has happened to this situation, what has happened since that point, and how it's being handled. So there's that. Brock Turner will now have to face a life of consequences, of course, not being a Stanford student, not having to go through, not being permitted to go pursue his dreams as an Olympic swimmer, which, you know, they're very different cases, but obviously the morality of swimmers who are competing in the Olympics or striving to be in the Olympics has been very skewed this summer. If any, outside of, you know, Michael Phelps, although he had his own incidents in the past, kind of shows between Ryan Lochte lying and Brock Turner not accepting responsibility for his actions that some of these guys apparently just don't understand personal responsibility. On any, again, varying degrees on the spectrum, Ryan Lochte lying about being held up by police while still bad and while he still has to face consequences most likely in Brazil for falsifying a police report is radically less than violating a young woman who was unconscious. Even if she was conscious, whatever, that situation involving Brock Turner. It's wildly different, wildly lower on the totem pole in terms of veracity of the crime. But it shows, at least in some part, that the accepting personal responsibility is maybe missing the mark with some of these guys. And I don't know if that's a sport-wide situation, if it's a generational situation, although there are 10 years separating Ryan Lochte and Brock Turner. So take that for what you will. Take that for what you think in terms of sport or the sport of swimming. So that's the Brock Turner situation. The one that we have, you know, similar amounts of information, but I think maybe bothers me a little bit more, is what's currently going on with Art Briles. Now, last we checked on Art Briles, he had been removed from the Baylor University head football coaching position. He tried filing a wrongful termination suit that kind of got brushed under the rug. I don't really know where that's standing. I think it was settled, But he was removed from his position, of course, because he, the president of the university, Kenneth Starr, and a few others, were involved in generally ignoring, if not blatantly turning their head to anything involving sexual harassment and potential rape from the football players, a select number of football players, over a course of multiple years, but especially last football season and the off season. So we're going through all of this. Again, Art Briles is still a defendant in that Title IX lawsuit against Baylor from one of the young ladies who were assaulted by a football player. So what we hear today from ESPN's Mark Schlabach, I'm going to read the direct quote from Schlabach first that I saw from ESPN.com kind of going across their side-scrolling blotter of, you know, tweets and information like that. And then we'll go into some of the articles that were written in light of it. Quote, former Baylor coach Art Briles has hired super agent Jimmy Sexton to help him try to navigate his way back into college football next season. Sexton, who represents Alabama's Nick Saban, Florida State's Jimbo Fisher, USC's Clay Helton, and Georgia's Kirby Smart, amongst other FBS coaches, tried to land Briles as a client 2 years ago. Briles has told reporters at NFL camps in recent weeks that he expects to be coaching somewhere in 2017. Briles, who was fired by Baylor in late May in the wake of the school sexual assault scandal, is still named as one of the defendants in a women's federal Title IX lawsuit against the university. End quote. Yeah. He wants to coach next year. Mind you, while a lawsuit against he and the university that may not be settled in that time, although heavens, I hope it is, he wants to go back next year to coach in an environment in college that he obviously didn't learn anything about. It's baffling to me, the lack of personal responsibility being accepted by these sports figures, by these people who are involved heavily in sport. In some cases, like in the case of Art Briles, men who are leading other young men should be leading them down the right direction in life, how they should be conducting themselves, failing to accept that responsibility on his own accord. So much so that he just blatantly ignores what's going on and wants to get back into coaching. What changed, or what has changed? From my perspective, nothing has changed in the case of Art Briles. He has not accepted responsibility. We talked about it a few months ago. He did not show up to apologize to the young woman he promised he was going to meet and apologize to face-to-face and accept at least some modicum of responsibility for his part in ignoring what his players were involved in, what violations they were committing against women. And it wasn't there. There was no apology. There was no accepting of that responsibility, at least face-to-face with a victim involved directly in a lawsuit, directly in a case, and there hasn't been anything since then. And all of a sudden, he hires the hottest college football coaching agent and says, yeah, I'm going to be back next year. No, I hope you're not back next year. I had a rant about this a couple months ago that I did not think you would be back next year. Although, suffice to say, you're going through all the hoops and climbing every ladder, you know, checking every box, saying that you're going to be back next year. And that enrages me. Why would anyone, I said this the last time, I pleaded again. I hope any athletic director, a president, a Title IX administrator, someone on any school's board that sees that Art Briles is a hiring candidate loses their mind and bars him from being allowed to take that job. And that's going to sound like, hey, Cody, you got a personal vendetta against Art Briles. Hey, Cody, you're not allowing someone to redeem themselves by taking another job. Cody, you're not permitting a man the opportunity to climb out of that hole. No, I'm not saying that he shouldn't be afforded those opportunities if he has accepted responsibility, apologized, and properly gone about the ways to rectify as best he can, being outside the university now, what he permitted or allowed to happen due to neglect or just general lack of control at Baylor. He hasn't shown that. He hasn't accepted that. He hasn't given that apology. He has not provided anything in any of those avenues I noted. He is still seemingly ignoring everything that happened and is hoping everyone else will ignore it and forget it so that he can move on and get a payday somewhere else. And the worst thing about it is it could happen. It very likely will happen that Art Briles will be coaching again on an NCAA Division I FBS sideline in the 2017 season. So he will be back to at least something in the top of the top, the highest you can go in college football. And that is disgusting. That will be in that university's case, the ultimate display, the ultimate example, and the embodiment, if you need anything to point at, the case in point, so to speak, of caring about athletic competition and athletic success over your student athletes, student being first, and over your student body as a whole, which should be the other way around. Your student athletes and your student body should be the primary focus. The safety of those, the success of those, the quality of life and education of those should be put above athletic success. But unfortunately, that doesn't seem to be the case a lot of times in the NCAA, especially in high-level college football. I'm not breaking any news to you guys, especially if you're sports fans. If you're not a sports fan, first of all, thank you for listening to PZ85 Sports. I'm Cody Sandusky. Glad to have you with me. Second of all, if you're not familiar with the college football ranks on the highest level, the schools you've probably heard of, like Baylor, like Alabama, like Tennessee, I would claim my own school, like whatever the SEC, you know, the Big 12, the Big 10, the Pac-12, those high-level conferences. In most cases, the athletic quality of competition and the athletic success, is placed above anything else. And unfortunately, if Art Briles is hired somewhere, it will be the ultimate case in point of the university preaching, silently or otherwise, that our athletics are more important than showing our young men and our young women that are on other sporting teams how to accept personal responsibility, how to be quality contributors as adults to society to help benefit and grow society. We rather see success on the field, on the pitch, on the court, wherever that may be. And that will be disgusting to me if slash when it happens. So now place your bets. I'm sure Vegas has probably got it on a superbook somewhere. Where's Art Briles going to go? Where are the odds? Now, with college football, the college carousel is ever spinning. So I don't know. I don't wish to know. Again, I hope the answer is nowhere, at least until he publicly addresses the situation with a contrite heart and with, you know, reverence or respect to what happened and how he can try to stop that the next time and make amends as he can for what happened at Baylor. But that hasn't happened for Art Briles, or at least it hasn't been made public enough for me to know about it. And I try to keep my finger on the pulse of sports at least as best I can. So from everything, it just seems like, especially for him just coming out, I'm going to be coaching next year. If he's saying that NFL camps, it means that he doesn't grasp the gravity of what happened and what he's continually tethered to through this federal Title IX lawsuit. He hasn't grasped the gravity of it, and I hope he does, both for the sake of himself, that he may try to rectify this, and for the sake of those that are around him and those that are involved in that Title IX lawsuit, both plaintiffs and defendants, as well as for anyone who may try to hire him in the future. It's frustrating that this is still the case. I don't really have anything else other than that to say concerning the situation, and I would hope that we wouldn't have to go back to the Art Briles situation nor the Brock Turner situation. But that's where we're at. We've addressed both of them here so far, and gosh, I wish they were better news. That's where we're at so far, partway through PZ85 Sports on your Podzilla 1985 network. Cody Sandusky here with you, September 3rd, 2016. Glad to have you along for the ride. It's been an interesting week in sports, very controversial week in sports. And as much as I'm putting together controversial topics and controversial, discussions on the previous two topics, we're going to carry on into another one that is just as controversial, probably, on the scheme of how it's been handled and addressed by media, if not in a totally different direction, and personally, vilified in ways that should not be. Now, I'm going to be probably a little, you know, maybe unexpected with my opinions on this. Roll with me here, because I'm sure you've heard it in some respect multiple times throughout this last week. And I know it's frustrating that we cover this a lot in sports, or cover these things with such heavy coverage in sports, because a lot of people like myself think, why don't you cover just the numbers of sports? Why don't you just cover the stats, give the analysis, the play-by-play, give me the coverage of the competition in its respective field of play. And we're going to do that. Baseball's wrapping up. Hockey is coming up. The NFL starts next week. So by the time you get to my game or the show on Saturday, we will have at least one game in the books from the NFL, the season kickoff. I'm very excited for that. We will talk about that. What happened? I'm hoping to watch all of it. We will cover those things. But I would be remiss not to hit the harder topics. As we talk about Podzilla 1985 across the spectrum, we address the difficult things because they deserve to be heard. They deserve to be discussed, and they deserve to be communicated to the community at large and a dialogue created. You know, this isn't just to tell you, hey, controversial stuff happens. We know it happens. It's the world. It's how it works. But we want to create a dialogue, a line of communication so that these things that are wrong, that are negative that happen, don't stay that way. Or hopefully we can find ways to create better alternatives or rectify these situations or make sure they never happen again. Like the previous two stories, I hope those situations never happen again. Unfortunately, they may. So we're going to address them until we hope we have some impact. And again, this is a podcast. I'm not saying I'm going to solve world hunger, cure racism, all these things. Hopefully we have some form of impact in causing the conversation to be had so that we can examine these intelligently with open minds and see what part we can play in making things different, making things better. That's the purpose. At least my purpose of journalism, just like I know Shannon, I know it's a large part of his purpose in journalism. So away we go. Colin Kaepernick, a name that is vilified even before this by a lot of fantasy football owners because he had one stellar season taking over for Alex Smith, helped lead the team to the Super Bowl, the team being the San Francisco 49ers, and then has generally declined and then tanked last season so much so that Blaine Gabbert, a former University of Missouri quarterback and basically burnout from the Jacksonville Jaguars, came over and started a few games to end the season for the San Francisco 49ers. So much so that it looks like Blaine Gabbert could be the starter for this 2016 season, despite Chip Kelly, the guy who enjoys dual threat quarterbacks and mobile quarterbacks, being the head coach. So Colin Kaepernick, last Friday night in a preseason game, decided to sit during the national anthem. From the reports that had come out since then, he had been doing this every game this preseason. But it had only been noticed last week that he was sitting during the United States National Anthem. He was asked about it that night and the next morning, which is where the statements came out that I talked about and alluded to at the beginning of the show. I reported on and discussed during my Saturday Morning Express show last week, and because this was recorded last Friday night, the news and the controversy surrounding that news had yet to break. So Saturday morning comes around, and the news is breaking through NFL.com. I saw it through SB Nation and a lot of other places that Colin Kaepernick had declared his reasons in a press conference or kind of a presser moment with interviewers about why he did not stand for the national anthem. And quote, "I'm not going to stand up to show pride in a flag for a country that oppresses black people and people of color. To me, this is bigger than football, and it would be selfish on my part to look the other way. There are bodies in the street and people getting paid leave and getting away with murder." He would later go on to say, quote, "This is not something that I'm going to run by anybody. I'm not looking for approval. I have to stand up for people that are oppressed. If they take football away, my endorsements from me, I know that I stood up for what is right." These quotes coming from NFL.com, Steve Wiechy, and my reading coming from NESN. So he does this, and it sparks a landmine field of controversy. Of course, everyone who has a pulse, who has a thought about anything, even relatively close to the military or America or politics, or whatever the case may be, if they have an open way to communicate, they shared their thoughts, myself included, because I was asked about them. I was actually asked about them on the air by two callers, which is fine. I'm glad to discuss these things, and I pointed out at that time I wasn't fully vetted in what had happened. I had only seen the news break across Twitter about his statements as the show was going on, so I hadn't been allotted a lot of time to read about it, but I kind of shared as I could what my thoughts were, just assessing the situation as it happened. I've come to it. You hear, again, everybody go across this guy, just cutting him at the quick. Tommy Lahren, heaven help us, the commentator on The Blaze, going completely crazy over the situation, browbeating the guy senselessly about and kind of carrying the party line for a lot of people I saw, which is, how dare you claim yourself to be oppressed? You make $9 million to $14 million a year throwing a ball, playing a sport. Donald Trump said he can go play football somewhere else, or he can go find another country, continuing on that his parents are mixed, that he was raised by a white family, that he played in the NFL. How dare he say he's oppressed? You know, police coming out and saying, how dare you accuse us of the problems going on in this country? Blah, 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 blah. The same thing we've heard everywhere in the last few months, last few years, concerning all these situations with police brutality and the like. Let's say, you know, I've heard a lot of commentators on the response side, showing that there are veterans that are backing Colin Kaepernick. I think they served or believe they served to protect his freedom to do this. Now, his team came out and said they may not necessarily encourage this or agree with his statement, or agree with his stance in not standing for the national anthem, saying they find it a very vital part of their pregame ceremony. but allowed him to do that. The NFL released a statement strongly encouraging that players should stand for the national anthem. Mind you, the 49ers and Seahawks played in a preseason game last night on September 1st. He and another player on the 49ers kneeled for the national anthem, and a Seahawks player sat for the national anthem. So multiple people latching on to this viewpoint. Now, Colin Kaepernick, in those initial statements, never said he specifically was oppressed, never blamed specifically a race of people for the problems going on. Just acknowledged that there was a problem, that people of color and black people are oppressed in this nation, and that he felt it was his time to stand up for it. Sports, as many of you know, has a very love-hate relationship with players and those involved in sports having political stances or speaking their political stances. It's kind of one of those things, as has gone on recently in controversy with ESPN or whatever. If you think one way, say it. If you don't, don't, or else you're going to get fired, blah, blah, blah. I'm not going to get into those things. But sports, again, has a very love-hate relationship. We praised and kind of lauded Muhammad Ali when he died for the stances he took in passing by, not wanting to serve in the Vietnam War, being arrested, having his heavyweight championship revoked, and not fighting for 4 years in a sport in his prime. The prime of his career, Ali could have retained that belt. I don't believe he would have had much of a problem with it for the next 3 or 4 years once it was revoked and once he went to jail for his not wanting to serve in the Vietnam War. And then we have people like Colin Kaepernick, again, completely different situations because he's not being asked to go into combat, but he's being vilified for speaking his mind politically because it's during the national anthem or it's against a very touchy topic. I understand those things. In some respects, they are apples and oranges. But again, earlier this year, just a few months ago, actually, Carmelo Anthony, LeBron James, a lot of these people, basketball players, are standing up and making statements and coming together to kind of present a unified front of we think we see there are things going wrong. We want to be a part of the solution. We want to be a part of talking about it, drawing attention to it, because we have a platform that we've been given, we've been gifted with. We want to use it. Colin Kaepernick does the same thing. It may be an inopportune time in some people's eyes or an inappropriate time to make a statement of sorts without stating anything at first. And he's vilified for it. It's again, a very fine line topic. Some people are of the mindset that I want my athletes to be athletes. That's it. I don't want them to be involved in anything else. I want them to be the person I see play the game, throw the ball, catch the ball, whatever the sport or the object of the sport is to do. They want to see that person do that, and that's it. Nothing else. They don't want to know their political commentary. They don't want to know their background family-wise. They just want to know, you're good at this sport, play it successfully, I'll pay money to see that. That's fine, but that's a very short-sighted and a very limited viewpoint, and I would hope and pray, or whatever you may do in that religious spectrum, I would hope that that's not what you wish for your athletes to just be. Just this object that, you know, does well at this game, so go play, I give you money. If I wanted sports to be this desensitized, detached, just game, I would go do that on my PS4. Or I would go play a video game. Because those are, you know, depictions of these athletes, yes. And as we get further and further along in video game technology and development of that technology, it becomes more realistic. You know, we've had game modes where these players share opinions, or you can have your player share opinions and kind of emulate the full life of an athlete. But if I wanted someone detached from the real world, I would go play a video game about sports. Otherwise, I want those who are athletes to have opinions, whether I agree with them or not. You know, Charles Barkley had the opinion in the 90s. I'm not a role model for your, I'm not supposed to be your kid's role model. You know, it was a famous commercial, but there was a lot of truth to it, and I think he still stands by it. He spoke about it recently. He doesn't believe that athletes are supposed to be role models. Now, that's a different discussion to have, but they are, and their opinions are, when they're shared, are heard. Again, they're meant to be agreed with or disagreed with based upon your stances, or maybe your stances are broadened, maybe morphed because of what you hear. That's great, but I don't want athletes to be, you do sport, go play sport, say no more. That's not a human. That's just an object. And that's not what sports are about. That's not what life is about. I want athletes, and I'm glad that some of these athletes, whether I agree with their means, whether I agree with the ends that the means accomplished or presented or broadcasted, whether or not I agree with them, I want And I'm glad that we are seeing more athletes, mainstream athletes, speaking their minds, sharing their viewpoints, their beliefs, and allowing the public forum to discuss them from there. Now, I would really hope we don't receive it as the public forum or as the media the way a lot of people did the Colin Kaepernick situation. Because, and here's my stance, not that you really care, not that it changes the story. Yeah, it's maybe to some people a disrespectful time to sit during the national anthem or to not salute the flag. Yeah, okay, I get that. But it worked. And it was something, I'm trying to remember who said it, and I believe it was on Mike and Miker earlier this week or late last week, probably earlier this week because it was Monday or Tuesday, I believe. And I apologize for not being able to give credit where it's due. But along the lines, I think it was Mike and Mike, the two men specifically, Greenberg and Golic, that discussed that it worked. It drew attention to his viewpoint and allowed him an opportunity, afforded him an opportunity to speak his mind. It's controversial. It's kind of what controversy does. It brings attention. It's kind of what doing something different than norm protesting does. Is it controversial? Yes. Was it a peaceful protest? Yes. Did it afford him an opportunity to share his thoughts? Yes. So by that logic, it was a successful protest because he has now been able to share his viewpoint and create a dialogue. That's good. People agree, people disagree. Of course, some people vehemently disagree. You have people like Jim Brown, the Hall of Fame NFL running back from the 60s, a man who has stood for a long time about civil rights and was in the thick of the civil rights movement during times with Martin Luther King Jr., with Muhammad Ali, with Malcolm X. He was alive. He was an athlete. He was successful and young during that time. And he made comments this week stating that at this point he wanted to see more focus, and his mission was to reduce the violence and the taking of lives from black men to black men. The crime within the black community. And I get that. That is something to focus on. That was a vocal point that Shannon discussed earlier this week, and that was in the PZ85 chat that we talked about, was that there also needs to be focus on eliminating some of this crime within the community. That's fine. And that is the goal of Jim Brown. That's great. That needs to be a focus as well. But there's also room for this conversation to take place that Colin Kaepernick is presenting. And there have been many different viewpoints. I don't have time to bring all these stories in or discuss all of them, or at least I could if I wanted to make this an hour. And maybe we will. We're recording it on the fly. I never know how long it's going to go. I might be able to pull in some things. But across the spectrum, it's been different things. This shouldn't be talked about. Sports tries to hide from these things. Everything across that spectrum has been discussed or thought by a person or persons during this week. And I lean toward the second one, the latter, that sports tries to shovel these things behind it. Sports are an escape. I get that. Sports are a form of entertainment. So for a lot of people, like I said, they want to have this person play the game well. Go play the game well. One wins, one loses. I pay you money to do that. I watch because I don't want to hear about the real world. And I understand that. And sometimes that just doesn't work that way. And I'm okay with that. Because again, those who we watch playing sports on any level, from the JV team you're going to watch Monday night, playing against the other JV team in your town, to the guys who are going to be playing in the World Cup of Hockey Finals or the NBA Finals or the College Football Playoff. They all are afforded an opportunity in this country to have a free thought and to share it if afforded that chance in a respectful manner, yes, and if given the time to do so, and I hope they are. So sports are meant to be this escape, yes, and I love that they are an escape. They are an escape for me. They have been for years. But it doesn't necessarily mean that it goes blind or it goes deaf. You have the three monkeys cover their eyes, cover their ears, cover their mouth. It doesn't blind itself as a community to what goes on outside of the realm of sport. Because once you leave the field, once you leave the pitch, once you leave the court, the ice, the life's still there. Real life is still there. Things that impact the communities you associate with, you relate with, you are in, whether they be socioeconomic, whether they be racial, whether they be based upon your spiritual beliefs or lack thereof. Those, the problems, the good, the bad, they exist once you leave the field. And on the field, they do too. While the game happens, these bad things still happen. And good things, hopefully, still happen too. But that's the escape. But just because it's an escapist form of entertainment doesn't mean that you have to ignore that life happens and that the world is a weird place. This living thing is crazy, man. You can't just ignore that. And I don't wish for those who our athletes to ignore it either. Now, as this week has gone on, Colin Kaepernick has continued to clarify and speak about his points. And we've also seen along the way some of these things change or adapt. Colin Kaepernick has come out and said he will be giving $1 million of his salary, the first $1 million he makes, to different organizations and charities that want to work toward whatever is going on in these communities that he's working with. This is from the undefeated.com, the new arm of ESPN.com. Give you some of the story that he is going to donate the first $1 million he makes this season to different organizations. Quote, I am planning to take it a step further. I'm currently working with organizations to be involved in making sure I'm actively in these communities, as well as donating the first $1 million I make this year to different organizations to help these communities and help these people. I've been very blessed to be in this position and make the kind of money I do, and I have to help these people. I have to help these communities. It's not right that they're not put in the position to succeed or given the opportunities to succeed, end quote. Yeah, that's where it is. And, you know, some people were of that mindset, of, you know, put up or shut up. You've got money. Give money. Do something about it. And yes, it shouldn't be just hollow words from Colin Kaepernick. And you would hope that it's not just this attention-grabbing situation. He wants to actually share his thoughts and wants to convey how he feels, but also do something to support how he feels by being active, whether it be giving of time, giving of resources, giving of finances. And he's doing that. And that's wonderful. I'm glad that he is. And I hope that outside of the vilifying conversations that have gone on this week, this very diametric dichotomy that has occurred. I know I'm not trying to alliterate or using large words. They're just the words that came to mind. I was trying to process them. You don't, this polarizing situation, there's a word, polarizing. That's a college, that's an SAT word, guys and gals. I don't want it to see just become this thing. Yes, that's how things work a lot now. And, you know, it's nothing new under the sun that I'm telling you that, yeah, there's a lot of times where we only see the one viewpoint that we agree with, and therefore we're surrounded by people who share that viewpoint and nothing else. But hopefully this allows for communication and discussion and maybe viewpoints being exchanged of how to handle these situations. I know it's tough. This isn't comfortable. I'm not comfortable talking about this because it means that there have been lives taken before they should have been taken, or at least in our viewpoint, however you believe outside of that. There are lives that have ended in unfortunate circumstances. That should not have happened, we would think. Or at least we know in some of these cases for certain that that is not the way that should have happened. And it's across the spectrum. Again, whether it be a police against civilian situation or civilian against police, you know, the opposite way. Whether it be one group, racially, socioeconomic, or otherwise, against the same group, against different groups. It's uncomfortable to talk about these things, but it's real, and it happens. And despite the people that we put on pedestals, and we buy posters of, and jerseys with their names on the back, and, you know, their logoed apparel, and we pay money to go to these large, outlandish stadiums to see them play this game that seems larger than life to the common person, or even to me, a guy who works in sports media, these larger-than-life figures playing these games for large amounts of money being paid to them. It's an escapist form of entertainment. But just because they provide the escape doesn't mean that we all permanently, and especially they, permanently escape what background they came out of, what they live in currently, and what they see as their worldview, and what they share with those that they have commonality with. The problems and the blessings. And they shouldn't be ignored. We need to talk about these things. We need to broach the uncomfortable topics. My gosh, has this been uncomfortable? It's been a tough week with some people I really care about talking about these things. So much so that we kind of had to agree to disagree and drop it. And probably never broach this topic again. That's how that works sometimes. But these are conversations that need to happen. These are conversations that will continue to happen. And I hope we can have a not necessarily polite or, you know, a non-abrasive, because these topics tend to be abrasive sometimes, but I hope we can have these conversations, and I hope the athletes continue to be vocal and involved in their communities, in their situations as best they can. I don't want my athletes to be objects. I don't want them to be two-dimensional or one-dimensional people that are good at a sport, that are specialized so much that they are just this thing. I'm a broadcaster. I'm a podcaster. I'm, you know, an occasional musician, sometimes just at home or with friends, however that may be. I'm an IT guy. Those individual things aren't just what I am. I'm comprised of a lot of other things, of opinions, of experiences, of viewpoints. Athletes are too. Just because they are so specialized, they are this super good at this one thing that a less than 1% amount of the population is good at to that extent, doesn't mean they're not allowed or that they don't have the same or their own viewpoints, experiences, backgrounds, upbringings, and they shouldn't hide them, controversial or not. That's about it that I have for PZ85 Sports this week. It's been an interesting episode, to say the least, to record, a very controversial week and a very controversial trio of topics. And I'm glad you stuck around if you made it this far. I'm glad to have your feedback as well. You can find me in a multitude of ways. You can follow me and tweet me at Cody Sandusky, CodySandusky. You can also find it on the description or the blurb for this podcast. You can also find it on Podzilla1985.com. Go to www.podzilla1985.com. Go to the cast and crew section, and you'll see my Twitter handle, a link to it there. You can find me on Facebook, and I promise, guys, I'm trying to get this thing active and running on a more consistent basis. You can find me at Cody Sandusky Sports, CodySandusky Sports, all one word. You can email us, sports@podzilla1985.com, or you can reach me in other ways, but that'll be the one we use on that one. And, of course, as always, we appreciate your support in a multitude of ways. Again, www.podzilla1985.com. You can find the podcasts, the entire network of podcasts, on iTunes, on your phone's app. I use Podcast Addict on Android. It's a wonderful app. It allows me to download, listen to all the episodes, clear out, you know, all of that. A great PWU this week discussing the Cruiserweight Classic, discussing the unfortunate passing of Mr. Fuji, and what is going on with the brand split and characters as they move on. Great Tanner Thursday last night talking about the passing, unfortunately, of Gene Wilder, and just the fun that comes with a Tanner Thursday or a Trainwreck Thursday. An interesting episode as always. Tuesday, just a great week of podcasts. You know, we can just go on and on, but a great week of podcasts. Recommend all of them. And of course, Monday you'll hear Nerd Up. Tuesday, Mr. 100 to Five Star Man. Wednesday, Pro Wrestling Unscripted. Thursday, Tanner Thursday, and then we'll be back next Saturday for more of PZ85 Sports. You can support us on Patreon, patreon.com, search Podzilla1985, back us. That money is used to boost the posts on Facebook when applicable. It allows us to buy better equipment for recording and allows us to bring you better content, better sounding content, or more developed content. We appreciate your support in that. And as well as redbubble.com, search Podzilla1985. It's actually been shared by Redbubble a few times this week. It's been very exciting for all of us. I know Lindsay was very proud, and she should be proud. It's great materials and great artwork. But Podzilla1985.com, or Podzilla1985, you search on redbubble.com. There's the PZ85 Sports logo. You can put it on a baseball tee. I've got to get mine ordered very soon. I'm very excited to get that going. It's just a lot of fun stuff. So check out the merch. Guys, it's been a great time. Thank you, as always, for tuning in. Again, share your thoughts on Twitter at Cody Sandusky, on Facebook at Cody Sandusky Sports, sports@podzilla1985.com. Reach out anyway. Share your thoughts. We love to hear them. I want to create some dialogue. And next week, we'll see what next week brings. I know it'll be the start of the NFL season. We'll be through week one of the college football season. Baseball is coming down the home stretch. We got a lot of actual sports stuff to talk about. And of course, whatever pops up in the news of the sports world, we'll bring it to you here on PZ85 Sports. Have a great weekend, everybody. Enjoy your Labor Day.